these days, many Americans use the word profile as a disparaging verb, not a term of art or literature. It's used to describe a deliberate process that reduces a complex human being to a set of characteristics. Race or ethnicity is usually one that supposes they are more or less likely to be part of a criminal act. Profiling has become one of the most controversial tools in law enforcement. Few Americans like to say they're in favor of ethnic profiling, but as security is tightened through succeeding color-coded states of alert, many Americans also say they're baffled at seeing infants and grandmothers searched in airport security lines, especially when all 19 of the September 11th hijackers were Middle Eastern males. Frederick Schauer has written the book Profiles, Probabilities, and Stereotypes. Mr. Schauer teaches about the First Amendment at the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard University. He joins us from the studios of Vermont Public Radio. Mr. Schauer, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to talk to you.
And maybe you can give us a working definition. When is profiling, to your mind, prudent? Not just defensible, but prudent. And when is it immoral or un-American even?
I think we have to start with the proposition that we profile all the time. Insurance companies profile when they set our insurance rates. Mm-hmm. The state profiles when it says that people who are under the age of 18 can't vote or under the age of 21 can't drink or under the age of 16, say, can't drive. Profiling is everywhere. It's all around us. That's not necessarily to say that ethnic or racial profiling is all around us. Mm-hmm. When we focus on those issues, we have to start with the distinction between the profiles that, to use the statistician's terms, are merely spurious. So we first exclude the ones that have no basis, no empirical or statistical basis. When we get into the issue of terrorism, when we get into the issue of airport profiling, then it becomes a little bit harder because, as you say, it turns out that many of the profiles that would use ethnicity or national origin or race along with other things have some statistical basis. Then things get tricky.
Does that suggest it's difficult to write a law that to write any law in a way that kind of maneuvers between the right and wrong way to profile?
Well, it's difficult, but laws are also generalizations, just like profiles. Think about the effect of including a factor along with a whole bunch of others. That is, we know that national origin or ethnicity is statistically relevant in determining at least some dimensions of airline terrorism.
Now, may I interject something there?
Sure.
Mr. Schauer?
Yeah.
Because that would certainly be true if, for example, as we mentioned, the September 11th attacks. But
right.
The fact is, when we're talking about worldwide hijacking, I'm not sure 19 is statistically significant, if you catch my drift. It seems to me there have been so many hijackings over the years. Statistically, I'm not certain what that 19 represent.
Right. If we are trying to predict terrorism on certain routes or at certain times in history, it's possible and probable that ethnicity is relevant. Far too often, race, which may be one relevant factor out of 40, mm-hmm. crowds out consideration of the other 39. Mm-hmm. For example, suppose the person in seat 9E is a person of Middle Eastern origin, first name Muhammad, but the person in seat 9D is a member of the same militia group as Timothy McVeigh. The person in Timothy McVeigh's militia group may be a much greater risk of terrorism, yeah. but the flight personnel are going to see the ethnicity and name of the person named Muhammad, but not see the affiliations of the person who's a member of Timothy McVeigh's militia group. Mm-hmm. Race is often overused even when it's relevant, mm-hmm. and it may be necessary frequently to mandate its underuse just to guard against its overuse.
A lot of Americans are uncomfortable with profiling once they figure they've been victimized by it, aren't they?
Yes. And I think part of that is an instinct that all of us have that says, in effect, I want to be treated as just me. I want to be treated as an individual. I don't want to be treated as a member of a group. even when we think of ourselves as individuals, even when other people think of us as individuals, they're also profiling. They're drawing conclusions based on the groups that we're members of. They're drawing conclusions based on our attributes. And the idea of a totally particularized, totally individualized decision just doesn't exist. That's why it may be good to get rid of the pejorative sense that attaches to words like profiles and stereotypes, and rather focus somewhat more carefully on which ones to use in what circumstances and which ones not to use.
What do you say, Professor Schauer, to people that say, why are they inspecting infants in airport security lines? Why are elderly grandmothers submitted to that kind of examination?
By including a fair number of random searches, in addition to the non-random ones, the cost of increased security is somewhat more evenly distributed across the entire population. Indeed,
when you say the cost, you mean the inconvenience.
The inconvenience, yes. The burden, the hassle, is shared more broadly. People who have flown out of Israel are aware of the fact that everyone must arrive at the airport 4 hours in advance. If all Americans were willing to endure somewhat longer waits at the airport, we could do with far less profiling and far less stereotyping that we now do.
Mr. Schauer, thanks very much.
Happy to talk to you. Thank you.
Frederick Schauer, the Frank Stanton Professor of the First Amendment at the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard University and author of the book Profiles, Probabilities, and Stereotypes, speaking from the studios of Vermont Public Radio in Norwich.